Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Back in January 2016, Jamie from Pensacola called in with a very outstanding question. Why are there so many different interpretations of the Bible? Tonight I want to explore, while we're waiting on our first call, where all these different interpretations of the Bible came from. Many assume we have all these different interpretations because the Bible's hard to understand, but I challenge that notion. I think it has more to do with people not having a, quote, love for the truth. I get that phrase from 2 Thessalonians 2:10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." The reason people don't accept the truth is because they don't have a love for the truth. That's the problem. I raise this question. Why is there a lack of consensus among professed believers on moral issues? And I'm quoting from a guy named Kyle Butt in A Christian's Guide to Refuting Modern Atheism. He said, "It is not because the Bible is hopelessly confusing and cannot be understood. It is simply because humans bring their already prejudiced views to the text of the Bible and try to force it to say what they think it should say." I think Kyle's right about that. A lot of people do that. They bring their already existing views to the Bible and try to force it to say what they think it should say instead of what it does say. Where did all these different interpretations of the Bible come from? Let's talk about that. Let me mention, though, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open and the calls take precedence. Because I'm pretty sure that's going to be more interesting than me just preaching a Bible lesson. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. I want to suggest that many times different interpretations of the Bible come not because the Bible is hard to understand, but because we get pressure from the world, sometimes called political correctness pressure. Now, when Jamie originally called in January 2016, where did all these different interpretations come from? Why do we have them? I immediately read to him 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, which is very, very clear on the women preachers issue. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in church." I asked Jamie, why do so many congregations, and I think it's about 75% across America, why do so many congregations allow women to preach from the pulpit? Is it because this passage is hard to understand? That's what people are saying when we have these different interpretations because the Bible is hard to understand. And Jamie said, no, the passage is not hard to understand. That's obvious. It's not hard to understand. Three times it says that women are not supposed to be preaching from the pulpit. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches." That's the first time. Second time, "For it is not permitted unto them to speak." And at the end of verse 35 is the third time. "It's a shame for women to speak in the church." Nothing about that's unclear. Then why do 75% of the churches across America and Canada allow women to preach from the pulpit? I suggest to you, it's not because the Bible's hard to understand. That passage is not hard to understand. It's because of political correctness pressure. This passage, and on this issue, I think, may be the clearest passage on any topic in the Bible, illustrates for us what Ephesians 3:3-4 are saying. Here's how that passage reads. Paul wrote there, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul got the revelation from God and wrote it down, so that when the people, he wrote it in words, so that when people, when we read the words, we can understand what was revealed to Paul. A lot of times people think, oh, it's some sort of mysterious thing God's got to reveal to you directly. No, this passage explains how it works. God reveals to his representatives, the Old Testament and New Testament prophets. They write it down in words so that when we read it, we can understand it. We can read 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, and we can see for ourselves that women shouldn't preach from the pulpit. We don't have to have a priest or a seminary-trained preacher to tell us that it's okay for women to preach in the pulpit. We can read that passage for ourselves, and it's easy to understand they shouldn't be doing that. Why do so many churches allow it? Political correctness pressure. It's not because that passage is hard to understand. It's easy to understand. People just don't have enough love for the truth to follow that passage. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Many times people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, not because the Bible is hard to understand, but because they're using the wrong authority. They're not really using the Bible, for example, as their authority. We say they're coming up with a different interpretation of the Bible, but it's not really that because they're not really using the Bible as their authority. Let me read something to you from the Watchtower Witnesses, the JWs. This was written by kind of the guy that helped start that group, Charles Taz Russell. He had written some books, the scripture studies, and that's what he's talking about, these books that he had written. He said this in 1910. He said, "We find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself. We see also that if anyone lays aside the scripture studies, the books that he wrote, even after he has read them for 10 years, if he then lays them aside and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness. On the other hand, if he had merely read the scripture studies and had not read a page of the Bible, he would be in the light." You see, the Watchtower folks are basically not using the Bible as their authority. They think if you want to know the truth of God, you're better off reading their material than reading the Bible. They're dead wrong about that. Dead wrong. Contrast that quote with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Here's what the Bible says about that. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." See, the Bible is inspired of God and supposed to furnish us to the right doctrine, not some man-made material. But people are letting the man-made doctrine trump scripture. For example, this quote from the first Episcopal gay bishop, Gene Robinson, in the Birmingham News, right down here in the Bible Belt, 2003. He says, and I quote, "Just simply saying it departs from scripture does not necessarily make it wrong." Well, I thought that's what made something wrong if it was against scripture. He's saying, no, that's not what makes it wrong. You see, people aren't coming up with different interpretations of the Bible because the Bible's hard to understand. No, it's because they don't think when scripture says something's wrong, that makes it wrong. They're not going to believe it's wrong just because God said that it's wrong in the Bible. How about the Presbyterian Church USA? They said that the church should, quote, reevaluate its definition of sin to reflect the changing mores of society. They were talking about homosexuality there. In other words, if 100 years ago the society said homosexuality was wrong, they're going to say it's wrong. But if society today says homosexuality is okay, they're going to say it's okay. You see, they're not using the Bible. They said we have to reevaluate our definition of sin to reflect the changing mores, customs, or practices of society. Now, the Bible defines sin in 1 John 3, 4 as a transgression of law, God's law. You transgress God's law, God's word, that's a sin. They're saying, no, that's not what makes something wrong. We have to let the definition of sin should reflect the changing mores of society. They're not using the Bible as their authority. They got the wrong authority. That's why people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, not because the Bible's hard to understand, but because they're not really using the Bible as the final say-so. Many denominations do the same thing as what we're talking about here with their creed books and confessions. And sometimes people let their favorite preachers tell them what to believe instead of studying the Bible for themselves. That's the same problem. Wrong authority. I mentioned this phrase, letting tradition trump scripture. I think the Catholics are a very good example of that. Let's talk about that in just a moment. But remember, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question on any Bible topic or comment, 877-655-6755. The Catholics have this doctrine called the perpetual virginity of Mary. They believe, teach, that the mother of Jesus, Mary, was a virgin her whole life. Now, is that because the scripture is unclear on this? Or is it just because they maybe think even sex inside of marriage is dirty and they don't want Mary to do something like that? Here's Matthew 1, 24 and 25, how it reads. It says, "And Joseph knew her not," talking about Mary, "till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, of course, the King James is using the word "knew her not" in the sense of sexually. He knew her not sexually till she had brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus, which implies that once Jesus was born, Joseph did know her sexually. And then Matthew 13, 55 and 56 reads this way. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas and his sisters?" Now tell me this. Remember, Joseph is not Jesus' real father, more like a stepfather. He didn't have a physical father. He was born of a virgin, Mary. How did Jesus have four brothers and a plural number of sisters if Mary remained a virgin her whole life? That's impossible. Jesus had brothers and sisters, and the only way he could have had brothers and sisters is if Mary had relations with her husband, Joseph, after Jesus was born. Now, these two verses I just read are not unclear or hard to understand. They're simple, easy to understand. Then why does the Catholic Church believe Mary was a virgin her whole life? Because they let tradition trump scripture. You see, the Bible's not hard to understand. People let their church tradition trump what the scripture says. That's the problem. The Catholic Church also claims that Peter was the first pope. And of course, the pope is not allowed to be married. But did you know the Bible teaches Peter had a mother-in-law? I like to tease and say, it's not fair to have a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife. Peter had a mother-in-law. He was married. Matthew 8:14 says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother sick of a fever." Peter was married, and the Catholic Church says he's the first pope and that popes can't get married? That doesn't make any sense. What's going on here? The Catholic Church is letting their church tradition trump what the Bible clearly says. It's not that the Bible's hard to understand that Peter was married. It said his wife's mother was sick. His mother-in-law was sick. He had a wife, and her mother was sick, the Bible says. That's not hard to understand. Peter was married. And yet the Catholic Church claims he's the first pope and that popes can't get married. They're letting tradition trump scripture. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. Many times people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, not because the Bible's hard to understand, but because they let ulterior motives get in the way. Let me read for you as an example, John 12, 42 and 43. It says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him," talking about believing on Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. It's not that the information was hard to understand. It was clear to them, and they believed it, that Jesus was the Son of God. But they weren't willing to follow through on their belief. They weren't willing to confess Jesus because they didn't want to lose their position in the synagogue because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see what I mean by ulterior motives? They understood the truth in this case, but they didn't follow the truth because they had an ulterior motive. We got to get rid of our ulterior motives and follow wherever the truth leads us. I think the gay church does this same thing. The Bible's not hard to understand that homosexuality is a sin. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 out of the New King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. We have all these sins named. First, it starts by saying the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. It names some sins that makes you unrighteous. It says if you're guilty of these sins, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you can't repent and be forgiven. But if you're involved in these sins, you don't repent, you cannot be saved. Fornicators, adulterers, people who worship idols, drunkards, homosexuals. Nothing hard to understand about that. Homosexuals condemned right along with adulterers and drunkards. And people who worship idols. It's a sin. It's clear. Nothing hard to understand about that. When I've done some debates with the gay church, they have track racks in their church buildings. But pretty much every track is a testimony. Somebody in that church, maybe the preacher or somebody else, or somebody who wrote this track, they were part of back then what we called a straight church, and they were gay. And they were feeling guilty because their church was against homosexuality. And then they found the gay church, and the gay church told them that it's okay to be a homosexual. You see? See, they didn't start believing the Bible taught homosexuality was okay because they did a thorough study of the Bible and found out that the Bible condoned it, said it was okay. You'll never find a verse like that. No, they were already homosexuals, and they wanted to find somebody, anybody to tell them that they were okay. So they finally found the gay church, and the gay church told them it was okay. See, the Bible's not hard to understand on that issue. Homosexuality is a sin, and you got to repent of it. Quit it if you want to go to heaven. If you don't quit being a homosexual, you can't go to heaven. Just like if you don't stop being a drunkard or adulterer, you can't go to heaven. The Bible's clear on that. That's not the problem. It's not hard to understand. The problem is people have ulterior motives. They want to practice this sin. So they're going to be looking for ways to, quote, interpret the Bible that in a way that would make their sin okay. They don't want to quit their sin. They're going to try to conform the Bible to what they want to do instead of conforming what they're going to do to what the Bible says. Perhaps the most common way that people let ulterior motives get in the way of serving God is because of money. First Timothy 6 verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Titus 1:11 we read, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Preachers, let's face it, a lot of preachers, perhaps most preachers, are preaching for the money. Now you can't read somebody's heart, so it's going to be hard to tell when one particular person is preaching for the money, but this passage is talking about people are preaching things for the sake of dishonest gain. How about Romans 16, 17 and 18? It reads this way. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, money, the love of money keeps people from preaching the truth, the whole truth. People will leave off parts of the truth so as not to offend the congregation they're preaching for. Because if they offend that congregation, they're likely to be fired. So they leave off preaching. They'll preach. They'll be glad to preach on the things from the Bible that the congregation agrees with them on. But anything that would offend that congregation, they're going to leave that off. They may preach the truth every Sunday. They leave off the parts of the truth that will offend the congregation they're preaching for because they have a love for money. you can't read their mind and tell who's like that, but the Bible is saying probably most preachers are like that. That's the problem we have, the worst problem we have with the ulterior motives is people are conforming to or deciding what they believe based upon dollars, not actually what the Bible says. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Another reason that people come up with different interpretations of the Bible, and it's not because the Bible's hard to understand, it's because what the Bible does say, clearly says, interferes with how we want to live. Here's a quote from a famous evolutionist, Sir Julian Huxley. He said, I quote, "I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores," or mores meaning practices. So, of course, Charles Darwin wrote the big book, Origin of Species, which set forth the theory of evolution. And this Huxley is saying, why did they leap at it? Why did they believe it? Because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores or practices. If you believe that God created the earth and the universe, then you understand that you are responsible to that God. And what he says in the Bible is one man for one woman for life. But a lot of men didn't want to be satisfied with only having one woman. So when there came around in the 1800s, a different alternative, a way that the universe could have gotten here other than by a creator, they leaped at it. We're going to believe that. Why? Because they didn't want to limit their sex to just one woman. And if they believe God was the creator and the Bible is the word of God, they're going to have to limit themselves to one woman. They didn't like that. They leaped at the Origin of Species book because that gave them sexual freedom. Because what the Bible said, clearly said, interfered with how they wanted to live. And I think the same thing could easily be said about the subject of divorce and remarriage. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." That passage is really not that hard to understand. I've been married to Carol for 37 years. If she were to cheat on me sexually, I have the right to divorce her and marry another. But if she doesn't cheat on me, I can't divorce her for any other reason. If I do, God will not approve of the divorce. And if I marry somebody else, that second marriage is adultery. Anybody can see that if I've done that, that I'm living in adultery. I'm going to have to, and I want to repent of that and be forgiven. I can't just say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep on committing this adultery. Two gay men can't just say, I'm sorry for the homosexual activity, but we're going to, please forgive us, but we're going to stay in the sexual relationship. That's not repentance. You can't be in an adulterous marriage, a second or third marriage. Like I've been told that 20% of many congregations they're in an adulterous marriage as defined by Jesus in Matthew 19:9, and the churches just go along with it. You can't be in an adulterous marriage like that and say, I'm sorry for the adultery, God, please forgive me, but oh, by the way, I'm going to stay in this marriage and keep on committing that adultery. That's not repentance. Yet I've been told 95% of the churches just teach now, stay in whatever marriage you're in. Now you go back 125 years ago, none of them would. 125 years ago, every one of them would have said, you got to terminate adulterous marriages. Now that number's down to less than 5%. Why? Why did they compromise? Well, because the number of divorce rate went way up. In 1870, the divorce rate was about 3%, one out of every 34 marriages. Now it's over 50%. If you don't compromise on divorce and remarriage and adulterous marriages, your congregation may dwindle down in number. Won't have enough to support the preacher. Anyway, why do we have so many different interpretations of the Bible? Hopefully we'll continue next week. Not because the Bible's hard to understand. In this case, it's because what the Bible clearly says interferes with how we want to live. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me, sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. If you want to know more about the program, listen to old programs, ask me a Bible question over email, go to BibleCrossfire.com. That's the website. But if you want to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me, 256-682-9753. We appreciate you listening every week at this same to Bible Crossfire. Write it down on your calendar and listen to it next Sunday at the same time.